We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, it's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, right, time up. We've only got 5 minutes now, not 5 minutes. Two medical degrees. No mom, no dad in the house. Worked my way through college. Sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You're going to tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't going to be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't going to let you get nowhere. Oh, you know you're not going to be able to do it because you know, the white man going to keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now if some white man kept me down?
Americans are dreamers, too.
Yeah, like that great American right there. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Tim Jones in the big chair today. We made it to Friday, gang. Great to be
Woo-hoo!
Here
hey!
With Katie and Ryan. Happy Friday, y'all.
Happy Friday.
And it's getting hotter.
It sure is. 12:09 p.m. here, Central Daylight Time in the Heartland. We got a couple more hours of warming before we hit the peak. We will touch base with Dave Murray on that around 12:42. 97.1 FM Talk's chief meteorologist. He's going to touch base about the crazy heat, all the weather. When will this break? I think in my weather crystal ball that I keep on my desk at home, otherwise known as my Weather Channel app, Dave would probably tell me
to ignore it. Yeah, don't tell Dave that.
Or ignore that. So it looks like there's a break on the horizon. So thank goodness this is, I hope that's true. Dave Murray will know because can you imagine if like, I mean, June does get hot, but like we're starting to get into July weather here and it's not July. So we will see.
Got to say, we've had a really long, nice spring.
We have.
Yes, we have.
It is extraordinarily hot. It's hotter than usual. But we're a little spoiled.
I was complaining on Memorial Day because it was 55 degrees and a little bit overcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I was complaining that weekend that it wasn't hot enough and that I wish the temperature would rise a little bit. Now here we are.
I think I heard him yesterday on Reardon and asked the question of the room, when was the last time we were over 100 degrees, which we are now? I think, right? We're over 100 now.
No, not right.
Not right yet.
Okay, not yet.
Don't tell Dave Murray. I'm looking at my app.
We might make it. We might not.
97 right
we're
now.
We're at 97.
So on my car thermometer, we've been over 100. So that's
well, yeah,
that's
the
what
asphalt,
I use.
The asphalt because, has been over 100.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
He asked the question, when was the last time we were over 100 in this area? And so everybody said, well, we assume it would have been last August, but that would be too obvious an answer. So they all said different things. It's been since 2018 since we've been over 100 in St. Louis. Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
It's climate change. That's climate change.
That's what it is.
I've determined it's climate change.
Man, I thought it was going to be like 2002 or 2003. I thought it was a long time
longer?
Ago.
Yeah. I thought we hit 100 every year.
Man.
I guess we do heat index because we were last week at a 105 heat index anyway. Mm.
When I was a kid, we had plenty of summers where it was over 100 degrees. And this was, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not ancient, but this was a few decades ago, you know. And so I think we've had cooler summers more recently. Mm. And we did have a long, see, human beings, we have such short-term memory on certain subjects, and probably on every subject, but especially on weather and politics.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like our memories on weather and politics is like, what's happening right now? And that's all we can focus on, right? Because it's so, like, present and in your face, you know? Like, the weather is the weather of that day, and you experience it. So tell me what the weather was a week ago. Two weeks ago, like you were saying, Katie, it was chilly.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Mm-hmm. And we were getting pounded with rain.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, oh, my God, the rain. And we were.
Windy.
I asked somebody, and they were like, yeah, we're like, at one point, we were 3 or 4 inches over rainfall for the year on the average. And now we're like, oh, it hasn't rained in a week. And, you know, so our short-term memories are bad on this stuff. So Dave's probably going to remind us of that and be like, yep, you know, we're going to have a break. It looks like we're going to have a break. And then maybe get back to it in time for July. We'll see. I'm gonna ask. I know I watched his long range forecast. I love Dave Murray's long range forecast is one of my favorite things in the world. Been watching it, listening to it since I was a youngster, and I think it's great. And he's generally, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's generally in the ballpark, I would say, better than most. And I can't remember what he said about summer.
I don't know that I heard.
I thought a mild summer. I thought we were going to have a mild summer. Gosh, I thought he said that we were having a mild winter whenever he gave his winter forecast with the DGS. And then I also believe when he gave a spring forecast, he said it was going to be a mild
winter. Now, are we talking, when Dave Murray's talking about it and we're talking about it, when you say summer, are you talking June, July, August? Or are you talking about like when summer starts through when the actual equinox happens?
Mm-hmm. Like, equinox, okay. I don't know.
There you are, the equinoxes again.
Well,
the equinox.
That's what they call the equinox guy.
Ryan Science.
I've heard that about you. You're the equinox guy. The equinox is Sunday, June 20th.
Yeah, we're close. I knew we were close.
Yeah, so that's the official start of summer. Every time I say that, I think of Olaf. Summer. Yeah, from Frozen.
You're in the right room. Annie would do a whole break on that.
Frozen 2, I thought was good. I don't know why I just went to Frozen 2, but I had to.
Annie, that's her favorite. Annie doesn't like Frozen, the first Frozen.
Really?
She loves the second Frozen. Yep.
Yeah.
She always says her argument is that the second Frozen should have been the first Frozen, and the first one should have been the second.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm
I like them both.
I'm really confused.
I like them both.
Confuzzled. That's what my daughters would say.
I don't even know the characters' names.
Yeah, Olaf.
Olaf, I know, is
the snowman.
Just because I have kids.
So summer will begin on the 20th, and then, you know, little known fact, people think that July is got the longest days of the year. No, it's June. So the longest day of the year will be Sunday, or the most daylight, sunrise, sunset, and then on average, we start losing 1 minute a day each day.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
1 minute. So you're not going to notice it until like September. And then you'll be like, wait a minute, it gets dark at 8 o'clock now instead of 9, you know? And then October, you're like, it gets dark at 6, 7 o'clock. And
you know what's strange is in the summer, if you go north,
yes,
like even to Michigan, like not that far north, it stays light till like 10 o'clock at night.
In Idaho last week, there was light in the sky at 10 p.m.
Oh, I love it.
Not a lot. But, like, the sun didn't set till like, 9:30 and light in the sky. And then when I was in Alaska, like, 4 years ago, it, like, never really set. It, like, went down below the horizon. It's weird. It's
Is
like,
it, like, a month-long period that it does
But it's,
that?
Like, dusk. It just kind of stays
like,
that way.
Like, until the equinox. Yeah, no, several months.
Okay.
That's what they call it, land of the midnight sun. It's, it depends. Like, you know, around late May, June, the sun goes down around 11:30, 11:45 at night, dips below the horizon, and then it's kind of dusky gray for a while. And then at 3:30 in the morning, the sun's up.
Whoa!
It's freaky.
That's kind of cool.
I think one day I woke up to do a radio hit, probably back here.
Weird.
And I remember, you know, every room in the hotels have the blackout curtains, like the serious blackout curtains. I remember, like, all right, I'm going to take a peek and see if the sun's up. And I take a peek out. I'm like, wah! It was like noon, you know, at 3:30 in the morning. And I was like, what? So Alaskans, you know, your biological clock, it's all screwed up there. Can you imagine winter, though? Winter's the opposite.
I can't even.
23 hours of dusk and dark.
Get
you
me
know?
Away from all of that.
And they all have the vitamin D lamps. I asked somebody about that. I said, is that a gimmick? Like, if you have a vitamin D lamp at your cube in your office or at home, or you have a room with vitamin, they're like, no. Like, those of us who don't want to get epically depressed, you get a vitamin D sun lamp.
My mom gave me a vitamin D lamp for, like, during the winter months. I think everybody has seasonal depression.
Like, I hate it.
Yeah, it's like that weird feeling. And my mom, I told my mom about it. I was feeling like really down, and she got me that vitamin D lamp, and I used it for a while, and it did work. Mm. And I don't know if it's like a psychological thing that you're like, this is turning this on is going to make me feel better. But it did make me feel better. Thus, I believe in the product. By the way, we're getting schooled just quickly on Facebook right now. You can watch us live, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow.
What am I wrong about now?
Okay.
That's gonna be to me.
Tony from Facebook says this. Dave Murray said the first half of June would be hotter than normal.
Okay.
And the second half would be below normal. Oh. Also, he said June would be a wet month. Second, this is Holly from YouTube, Ryan. December, January, February is winter. March, April, May is spring. June, July, August is summer. September, October, November is fall. So that is what I believe Holly is saying. That is what Dave Murray is going by. Not the equinox.
Okay. Sir. Well, but he's as you know, I'm the equinox guy. And
that's true.
I want to get things right. I don't talk about solstices
Mr.
even.
Mr. Equinox.
What in the world is that? Is that a real
a
song?
Segment. It's a new segment.
A couple words for no reason.
I just made that
okay
up.
It's a new segment.
There's the Equinox guy. Man, I'll tell you what. I could maybe do one segment. After the first one, I don't think I'd have a whole lot of content.
It would be a short-lived.
Here's the Equinox segment again. Okay, I'm going to change the station.
It'd be cool if we, like, printed up T-shirts and did, like, a whole advertising campaign around it, and then it was literally one segment.
Yes.
Man, that would be an epic segment, though.
That would be just in time for that. That would be a subject ripe for the Babylon Bee. There you go.
Yes, it would.
Surely indeed. We've got a great show lined up today here to take you into the weekend. Whew, the hot one that it's going to be. And seriously, folks, this is really, like we said, we did have, despite our short-term memories, we had a long, cool spring. I don't know, unless you're like a super athlete like my daughter who runs 8 miles a day and drinks 12 vats of, the hydro flasks? I have a hydro flask, you know, she gave me for.
Is that a fancy word for like a modern water bottle?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a particular style.
Okay.
Hydro flasks.
Yes.
That's what they say. Yeah. She's got Katie's got the big, giant hydro flasks, you know, and she'll drink gallons. So anyway, unless you're one of those people, I don't know that our bodies are ready for this weekend. So seriously, this is no joke. I mean, we always think, you know, winter's a lot more in your face and it's cold. Now. The heat can be just as bad. So drink lots of water, get all your outside stuff done early in the morning, and, you know, just chill out in the afternoon because it is going to be hot. Be at the pool, be inside, go to the mall. You can go back to the mall now, whatever. But, yeah, be careful with this heat. It's like, and animals, take your animals inside. Don't leave Fluffy or Bowser or whatever, you know, outside in the
Bowser
yard.
As I understand it, Bowser is a giant lizard.
He is a lizard. Yeah, he is a lizard. Yeah.
And he's evil, too.
He's evil, so we kind of want
leave
him
out.
To die. Let's
okay,
just let him
I'm
die.
Totally
so Dave Murray, Dave Murray on all that stuff, at including Bowser the lizard, at 12:42, 1 o'clock hour. We're going to speak to Liz Harrington. I know Ryan's excited about that.
I can't wait.
I am as well. She has great news. She's President Trump's new spokesperson. And just in time, boy, are we on the cutting edge. Donald Trump's going to have his first MAGA rally next week in support of one of his favorite congressional candidates. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Dan Vargas, founder and president of Operation Triage, a U.S. Marine veteran. He got to us courtesy of our good friend, Police Chief Mike Wiegand from my hometown of Eureka. And it's about a great event that's going to be held out at Brookdale Farms. Just talked to my buddy Jerry Kirk, owner and proprietor of Brookdale Farms. Jerry does so much for police and military. He's a veteran police officer himself. So we got lots to get to. Get a cool drink, chill out, and we'll help you get into this hot steamy weekend here in the heartland, here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, this is a major decision for religious rights. And it's also the decision that some of us thought was the most important of those pending cases that we've been waiting for. What is surprising is it's 9-0. There are concurrences. Yeah. But the court is speaking with one voice and saying the city of Philadelphia violated the free exercise clause of the Constitution.
Yeah, there's Jonathan Turley there, and he's makes me feel good knowing that a world-renowned constitutional law expert like Jonathan Turley agreed with our analysis of the 9-0 religious freedom ruling yesterday that came out of the Supreme Court around the time that we were on the air. So I think that's fantastic. So I think the shockwaves from that, Ryan, are still being felt all across the land. Second religious freedom ruling that went in favor of religious freedom in recent history, with John Roberts, you know, finally, I guess that's his sweet spot. That's where we don't have to worry about him on, apparently.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't know why that seems to be where he draws the line, because he doesn't seem to draw a lot. There was a time, I'd say maybe 5-10 years ago, that I really defended John Roberts, because when he wasn't the swing vote, I felt like he kind of decided things that seemed, at least to me, on principle. But then once he became the swing vote, and as the Chief Justice, it's like the power's gone to his head or something, mm-hmm. and he kind of plays games with everything a little bit more, and I've really lost trust in him.
His politicization of the court, which I think he definitely has, began with his Obamacare ruling.
Yeah.
He might have had some before that that we didn't notice, but I think that's where people were like, that was the one that people sat up and were like, whoa, wait a minute. John Roberts just upheld Obamacare on grounds that weren't even argued before the court, remember?
Yes.
They were arguing on, you know, whether you could force somebody to engage in commerce and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's an unconstitutional mandate and so on and so forth. And he came back with, well, it's a tax.
Yeah,
and,
it wasn't a tax.
And Congress can tax a ham sandwich if it wants, and so it's a tax. So wait a minute, you're telling me that we can have any, so we can write whatever law we want, and no matter how unconstitutional it is, as long as we call it a tax, it's fine? Really?
Yeah, that ruling, really, it was the one that I went, whoa, wait a minute. And I tried to look through the lens of, because I think at the time, in my head, I looked at it and thought he was trying to not write law. But you're right. In retrospect, you could apply that law to anything. You could say everybody in the country has to have a swimming pool. And if you don't, then you pay a fine.
Yep.
And we can call that a tax now. In the past, you couldn't do that. That was a terrible ruling.
The pool tax.
Yeah.
There you go. And I'm presuming, okay, that was back when Obama was in office. So Justice Scalia, I believe, was alive, very much alive. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he wrote a scathing dissent in that opinion, because that would have been back in like 2015, probably 2014, 2015. I think Obama was still president, and that's when the Roberts decision came out.
He was. I think that. Yeah. I would have said earlier, like 2012.
It might have been.
But
yeah. So yeah. So apparently, where we don't have to worry about Roberts is on religious freedom and liberty, which is great, and I know Josh Hawley put out a big, Josh Hawley's one of Josh Hawley's cornerstones of why he ran for office. I can tell you this because I spoke to Josh Hawley around the time he was deciding whether to run for attorney general or not, and he was asking me if I was going to run, and I decided not to. And his big deal was religious freedom, because he was one of the lawyers on the Hobby Lobby, the famous Hobby Lobby case.
Is that the other case you're referring to with Roberts?
No. No, there was a recent case this term that was a religious freedom case.
I don't remember which case that was, but I do remember. Was it involving schools and federal money going to private or Christian schools?
Yeah, see, that was Espinoza versus Montana, but I think there was another one.
Oh, okay.
Like, that got less attention, so I'll have to look that up. But no, Roberts has been good on all the religious freedom and quasi-religious freedom cases, like the Espinoza case. But Josh Hawley was one of the attorneys way back in the day. He did some work for the Beckett Law Fund, which is a think tank, kind of a think tank legal fund that specializes in defending people relating to religious freedom and liberty. And meanwhile, out in Colorado, land of the hippie fruits and nuts, that cake baker is still battling that ingrate who keeps hauling him back. It's the same two people.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I knew it was the same baker.
Person.
It's
yeah.
the same people
keeps hauling,
suing him again?
Hauling him back into court all the time. You would think at some point one of these religious freedom cases out of the Supreme Court would be precedent over whatever the heck Colorado's doing.
Well, that seems like it absolutely would be.
Yeah. Should be binding. And maybe it will be. Maybe now that this case, I don't know. It's like you can't force someone to approve of your lifestyle in this country. You can't force people. We still have the freedom to say, I don't agree with that. And because of my religious beliefs, I don't have to agree with that. So mind your own business. There is nothing prevent. Trust me, there's plenty of adoption agencies that will work with people who have red hair or who are LGBTQ or who like to eat cheese sandwiches. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you find one that says, like the Catholic Services says, look, we just don't place children with this type of household. This is the kind of household we place them with. And they get to do that. And they're not the government. And so the argument of discrimination is moot because they're not a government actor. And they're not making you do something. You're trying to make them do something. Mm. And so that's the thing. So you get to have your religious freedom rights tantamount over that. And if you don't like anything I'm saying, then I'm sorry. You're going to have to take it up with extremely liberal justices, Sotomayor and Kagan. Now, I did talk to a friend of mine who's an attorney who writes for Red State. You all know her, I think. Susie Moore.
Yeah.
She's been on the air before.
Yeah. She listens.
I ran into her today, and I'm going to interview her Sunday night on the Tim Jones Show. And she said, okay, Tim, you're right, but it is very narrowly tailored. I'm like, okay. So that's what I figured. I figured it was a narrow point of law. Otherwise, Sotomayor and Kagan wouldn't have come along.
It was narrow just to adoption.
To this particular incident.
Yeah.
And the way that the city of Philadelphia was wanting Catholic Services to act instead. So everything about it, the entire fact pattern, she said, is only going to... It may not go much beyond that specific situation.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to, maybe we won't be able to extend it to cake bakers and stuff.
We,
you know what I mean?
We talked about the cake baker situation off air, I think, a little bit yesterday. And it's amazing that the argument, like the people who are suing this guy over and over and over, has nobody come to them and said, look, if you were a baker and you're gay, would you be okay with the government forcing you to make a cake that says, I hate gays?
Right.
Like, That's the exact opposite of this case. Put yourself in the other person's shoes for a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you want the government to come in and tell you that? I would imagine that they would say no, yet they continue to sue this guy.
So did you see that? I'm glad we have Liz Harrington on today, because there's so much that, Ryan, we're going to be able to ask her about that we've been talking about all week. The Maricopa County audit is apparently going to be released in August.
Oh, that's news to me.
That's a brand new. If you go to, I found it on Bongino Report.
Okay.
And also, Donald Trump is having a rally next week, mm-hmm. his first MAGA rally. He's going into Ohio to support a fellow who's running for Congress, who was one of his advisors, who's running for a congressional seat. And I just got a breaking news notice from the Donald Trump Twitter feed, now known as the Save America PAC email distribution list. Mm-hmm. So now he sends... Now he's not limited to 140 characters. Now it's like a whole entire paragraph, you know? So this is on an endorsement of Kelly Tshibaka. No. Kelly, I'm just going to call her Kelly Chewbacca.
Don't do it
as many times. Let's get her on the phone. See how many times we can do it before she corrects us.
So here's Donald Trump. He's so great. You could like totally hear him like dictating this to somebody, right? I'm sure he didn't type it out, but he's probably dictating. Memo! Lisa Murkowski is bad for Alaska.
Oh, my goodness.
Her vote to confirm Biden's Interior Secretary was a vote to kill long-sought-for and approved ANWR and Alaska jobs. That's accurate. Murkowski has got to go! Exclamation point. Kelly Chewbacca is the candidate who can beat Murkowski, and she will. Kelly is a fighter who stands for Alaska values and America first. She is MAGA all the way. Pro-energy, strong on the border, tough on crime, and totally supports our military and our great vets. Kelly is a powerful supporter of the Second Amendment and jobs. Jobs is all capitalized. I look forward to campaigning in Alaska for Kelly Chewbacca. She has my complete and total endorsement, and complete, total, and endorsement are all capitalized.
Chewbacca could actually run in Alaska, speak exactly like Chewbacca,
yes,
and beat Lisa Murkowski.
I think that Trump is writing those, because think about how much he
loved.
Think about how much he loved Twitter and he loved writing his own tweets. There is no way that Trump is allowing someone else to handle that process of writing paragraphs and paragraphs on his behalf. There's no way.
Kelly Chewbacca is the worst senator ever. She's got to go.
Susie Moore, by the way, is in our chat.
He likes Chewbacca.
Oh, is she really?
Thank you for always listening, Susie. We love you.
Yes, thank you, Susie.
You're awesome.
Susie will correct me on Sunday night and tell me about my legal analysis.
You know what's funny?
When we were talking about fly.
When we were talking about booking Liz Harrington, I did not realize she had a new position as Trump's new spokesperson. Mm-hmm. She's just been all over these Georgia, all of the audits in general. Maybe that's why Trump has her as a new spokesperson, because she's paying attention to that stuff. But the Georgia stuff, she's been tweeting about some of the details coming out of Georgia.
Yeah? Oh, yeah?
And, I can't wait to ask her some of the sort of in-depth questions about Georgia right now. Because we know Maricopa, they're already doing it. They're going to release their report, apparently, in August. That's news to me. I didn't know it would take that long. I thought we were talking about, like, a couple weeks away. But I guess they're going through all the data right now. They have to compile it and present it. And good for them. Take as long as you need at this point, because If you're going to present data, it's going to be challenged. Like, no matter what they put out, especially if they find fraud, people are going to challenge their method in finding it. So I say take all the time you need and sort of gird yourself up against all the challenges that are going to come against you so that you can refute them immediately. Because as far as I can see, this has been a very, very transparent audit. And it's going to be hard to find a foothold to criticize them on. And if you can sort of plan against those criticisms ahead of time, take all the time you need.
So big news we had yesterday during the show was the jobs report, which was very disappointing, came out with more jobless claims than the week before. Some other news that just came out this morning, and maybe the current president, Joe Biden, will get some kind of bump from his international trip, from his European vacation, but I don't think so, because there's no headlines today that came out of that week-long excursion.
That, on top of everybody has been hammering him about his behavior towards the press, mm-hmm. that has taken the headline from that meeting between
You're
Putin
right.
and Joe Biden.
The press has created their own headline.
And even CNN, because it was their reporter, the big headline and the big takeaway was his behavior and how embarrassing it was that he would act that way towards an American reporter on foreign land. Mm-hmm. So,
like the way he trashed the Republican Party?
I don't think that there is any other big takeaway that moment.
Yeah. That's a great point.
And for once, I'm glad they've reacted, because usually they just sit there like bumps on a log and let Joe Biden does what he wants. You know, when he trashed the Republican Party on foreign soil, there was crickets. Now that he trashed an American reporter on foreign soil, well, now they're all up in arms. But, you know, in a way, I'm kind of glad, because that means maybe the honeymoon's over. You know, they were so gushy, googly. They should be made to go back and watch their coverage of January 20th and the adulation that was lauded onto Joe Biden. Look, if Joe Biden was actually going to be some kind of gravitas, loftier than thou, great orator, Like a Barack Obama. I could see them saying those things about Barack Obama. Okay, first black president, heck of an orator, especially when he was reading off teleprompter. The guy was a smooth customer and all. Come on, they tried to reinvent Joe Biden on January 20th. Instead of just saying, well, good old Scranton Joe is now president. Maybe he'll be better than Orange Man Bad. But they acted like Joe Biden was the second coming of something that he wasn't. And there was all this stuff put on him that I knew the mantle of Joe Biden would not support. And now here we are, barely 5 months later, and they're going, well, he's not very nice. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Why is he so opaque to the media? Why is he yelling at CNN reporters?
And we just came off of Obama, who was a very, like you just said, a charismatic guy that really grabbed attention, that could pull you, that could, you know, manipulate is the wrong word, but all eyes were on Obama. And then all eyes were on Trump. We had two electric presidents that captivated us. And then we had Joe Biden. And I think a lot of people voted for Joe because they thought they wanted that. They thought they wanted the roller coaster ride to end and to have some levity. But now it turns out that there's nothing exciting about Joe. And when there's nothing exciting about Joe, that makes you not want to pay attention.
And they have nothing to write about.
Yeah.
So the problem is, these people who don't necessarily get paid by the word, but they get paid by writing articles and having news stories.
Clicks, yeah.
They don't know what to do.
They don't.
So they're like,
So ratings are down.
Let's see. January 6th. Yeah. Let's do that again. Donald Trump's horrible. Look at all these
and racism.
Evil people who are racists
at the
Capitol.
Racism all
Look
the
at
time.
The racist Buffalo hat wearing guy again. You know, and there's just no story there. And so now we're 5 months later, right? And his trip to Europe was horrible. And so my headline from that is, on Breitbart today, Joe Biden's approval rating drops to 48%. And the poll wasn't done by Breitbart. It was done by Monmouth University, who are no right-wing polling outfit, right?
And the poll, that's incredible because, as we've talked about, the polling has been so skewed in his favor. The sampling and the questions they ask. It's unreal how much of activist polling has become. Mm.
So he's now upside down, and this poll was conducted during the week and was wrapped up on Wednesday. So it was after the G7 summit, right in the middle of kind of NATO and Putin and all that. And I don't think things got better for him from that point forward. In fact, Putin kind of ate his lunch. So and Biden looked weak in not doing a joint press conference. So then Putin could go on the world stage and talk about how racist and out of control America is as our cities are burning down. That's basically what he pointed out. Hey, we got lots more to get to, including Dave Murray, who's going to be calling in right now. So let's get to a commercial break, quick break, and then we'll be back right after this. Dave Murray up next on The Heat here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight and all weekend. You like that?
I don't know what happened. What's the old town?
That's an old song, isn't it? Maybe Dave Murray knows. Not that Dave Murray's old or anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right, Dave?
Dave gets it.
Hot time in
the old town.
That's right. Okay. Dave Murray.
We like to say, is it hot enough for you? That's the other thing we like to say.
That's right.
Well, Dave, thanks for tuning in to the Annie Fry, calling into the Annie Fry Show today. And Annie's on maternity leave, Dave. She had her fourth child, little Molly, last week. We're all very excited for her. And so,
yay!
I'm filling in this week, and Ryan and Katie are here, and I think John Hancock may be in next week.
Yep.
So, anyway, Dave, we're keeping the big bus between the ditches, as they say. And thanks for I know you're a busy guy, Dave, because everyone wants to talk about the weather this weekend, and you like to do
absolutely.
That. So, Dave,
that's all I like to do.
That's all you like to do. That's it. That's it. That's all he does. Yeah.
Yep.
That and plants. He's a big gardening guy. I know that.
That's right.
So, yeah. So Dave, give us the 30,000 foot. What are we looking at today into tonight and tomorrow?
Okay, we're not at the hottest point of the day yet. This time of year, remember, we're now in the longest days of the year. So the hottest point is between about 3:30 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I still kind of like that number of 100 degrees here in St. Louis. Lots of sunshine. The humidity is up a touch. It's not extreme, but it's up a little bit compared to where we have been the last 2 days. Dew points right around 69, 70. That's the number we start to feel it a little bit. And that will tend to keep the temperature down a degree or two. 100 is the record from 1953. So we should at least tie that record. Once we get to that point, I always hope, well, you know what, if we're going to be 100, we might as well hit 101 instead of the record, and just for the fun of it. It's been a long time. July 14th of 2018 is the last time we were 100 plus here in the St. Louis area. So it's been quite a while. It's still going to be hot this evening. If you're planning any kind of activity, think 90s, in the 90s until about 10 o'clock tonight, and we'll drop back to 75. Yeah, that's part of the problem of a heat wave in St. Louis, is the limited cool down at night. Saturday and Sunday, partly sunny, it's hot. The humidity should be a little bit higher, 95 each day, Saturday and Sunday, just a slight chance of a spot thunderstorm. I wouldn't worry about them at all. Monday is one of these transition days. There's a pretty good cool front dropping in, but I think it's going to take much of the day to get here. There'll be some scattered thunderstorms around, so temperatures could be bouncing all over the place if you get under a storm. But on Monday, I'm still going to call it kind of hot and humid. I wouldn't be surprised if we hit 90 for the high on Monday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe even Friday, there is hope on the horizon. We are talking much cooler temperatures, daytime highs on Tuesday and Wednesday, upper 70s to near 80 degrees, and in the 50s at night with low humidity. So it's going to be a dramatic change coming back at us.
Is it too early to ask about 4th of July weekend yet? Do you have any idea what that's going to be like?
Too early.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this.
I'm honest with you. It's just too early.
No, that's fine. If you're planning on going boating or if you're going to be outside, I just didn't know, like, you know, if we could get a general idea.
I do think that the hottest part of June, we're going to come out of that. And I think the last 2 weeks of June will be relatively pleasant. Still summertime, but relatively pleasant for St. Louis. Does that take us to the 4th of July weekend? I'm not sure. You know, for us to have a pleasant 4th of July weekend is almost impossible. But things are looking okay for the next 2 weeks once we get past Monday.
I heard you say yesterday that one of the reasons that it's so hot right now is because we have such dry ground. Is it worth the trade? If we got some rain and it brought the temperature down, would that just raise the heat index because it'd be more humid then, though?
You have it right on the money. Yes, that's the catch. And the heat indexes the last couple of days have really been almost non-existent. They're up a little bit today because the humidity is up. But if this was a typical St. Louis summer day, the heat indexes on a day like this would be 110, 112 degrees. We're not going to see that.
Mm-hmm. Dave, would you remind our listeners what did you generally say about July and August in your long range forecast? Like what type of July and August are we going to have?
July looks like kind of a typical July, but I don't see it being an extreme month of heat and humidity. I'm a little concerned about humidity more than heat. I don't think July is the hottest of the summer. I think August is probably the hottest month of the summer, especially the third and fourth weeks of August.
Okay, very good. So, Dave, just to recap, lots of heat, little bit of humidity building in through the weekend, and then we're going to slowly get a shift on Monday. Is that right?
You're right. Yeah, Monday's the transition day. When we wake up Tuesday morning, you'll walk out the door and go, oh, yeah,
okay.
This is feeling pretty good.
Very nice.
Hey, just before we let you go, too, a little internal debate that we had a couple minutes ago. When you give your seasonal forecasts, do you do it based on the months? Like, is it for June, July, August? Or is it for when the actual solstice starts through the equinox? Because I'm the equinox guy.
No, it's what I call meteorological season. So the meteorological season of summer is June, July, and August.
Okay, perfect. Thank
you. And then September, October, November would be fall.
Fantastic. Okay. Dave Murray, as always, you've answered every single question we ever had.
Yep.
There we go.
Well, I try.
Show's over, Katie. Let's wrap it up.
I can't solve a lot of your problems. Hey, have a great Father's Day weekend, you guys.
Yeah, you too. You too as well. Thanks so much, Dave Murray. Yeah, there he goes. So, very good. Yeah, well, so hot in the old town tonight and tomorrow and Sunday. I'll tell you what, though. I'm looking at this long-range forecast that he was just talking about. It looks really nice next week. Mid-80s.
Wow, that is good.
Maybe not even 80 on Tuesday. Like you said, we're going to walk out of the house. I love that, where you've got the heat, and then all of a sudden it breaks, but it's still summer, and everything's gorgeous, and you walk out in the morning, and you get that coolness.
Like
the good Lord turned the air conditioning on outside, and you're like, Yes, that's best a nice
time
summer.
To go walk your dog too. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that weather.
Get your chores done.
I'm so pumped.
I'll tell you what it's not good though for is swimming. When it's only like in the 70s,
yes.
And you're getting used to the 90s,
yes.
You try to go swimming on one of those days.
Yep.
At least for adults. Kids seem to go swimming.
They don't seem to be bothered.
They'll go swimming in 60.
That's true.
60 degrees outside.
Last summer, or sorry, the end of summer, like September. My son and I, we went to Holiday World in Indiana.
Oh yeah, yeah, Holiday World.
And it was like the last weekend they were going to have their water park open. And so we thought, well, we got to do a couple water park rides because we're here and it's still open. But it was only about 74 degrees for the high. We went on one water park ride, and the scream that he gave when we went down that first sort of, it was like a water coaster, when that first blast hit you, that scream will stay with me for the rest of my life. It was so shrill because I was experiencing what he was screaming.
Yes.
It was so cold.
Like breaking glass.
It was painful.
Yeah. I've never been to Holiday World. I pass it all the time on the way to visiting my brother in Louisville. Is it a fun place to visit? Would you recommend it?
It's a nice weekend if you make that kind of part of your weekend.
Okay.
I don't know that they did great during COVID.
Maybe
it's fine now.
Yeah.
But that, you know, like Disney World, they've got the infrastructure to kind of handle these big changes. Holiday World,
they weren't built that way.
They're not built that way. So it's just a lot of kind of just make it work and
hope for the best.
It wasn't the best, but maybe they've fixed it by now.
So you know how much I tell you how much I hate CNN. I just watching it over Ryan's shoulder here. They had a segment on just now. They're such frauds. Now that the rest of the world is like leaving COVID behind, now they're like starting to now they're jumping on the bandwagon. They had a segment called "Share Your Photos #The Comeback."
Oh, so
the comeback.
That's how they're spinning it.
Now they're celebrating the comeback. Yeah,
and it's all under Joe Biden. It's the comeback.
It's Joe
now,
Biden's
right?
comeback.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Oh boy. Hey, we got lots more shows straight ahead. In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll have Liz Harrington join us. Very excited about that. Happy to take your phone calls as well. After this break, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, here on a Freedom Friday with the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.